that sign?
The world has an identity crisis. There's so much insecurity. And here's why. On a daily basis, every single person comes before, goes into the courtroom, as Phil was saying yesterday, goes into the courtroom, sits before the judge, and the judge, whether it being God, or being their friends, or being their family, they sit down and look at the judge, and they have to present what it is they do. They go, I did this today, I did this today, I did this today, I did this today. And then they wait for the judge's verdict, whether or not they're a good person, whether or not they're innocent, whether or not they're clear. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so because of that, there's so much insecurity that ensues. People will, okay, well, did I do enough today? And even in our Christianity sometimes it seeps in because it's like, did I do enough today for you, God? You know, did I share my faith enough? And if I didn't, I feel insecure. Because God, if I didn't do enough, then I'm not a good enough person. And so many times it's like, how can I do this? You know, the insecurity kind of bogs us down and cripples us and warps us into somebody that we just can't and don't want to be. Especially in following Christ. Talk about freedom. That's nowhere near freedom. As the world has an identity crisis, because they have the wrong mindset. In Christ, the opposite is true. Instead of us going into the courtroom, we had somebody go into the courtroom before us. And that was Jesus. And whatever punishment, it was a kangaroo court, they heaped insults on him. They heaped every possible thing that we could ever do on him. He took the verdict. He took it so that instead of us going into the courtroom, we can be cleared. We're innocent because of Jesus. We don't have to worry about the verdict because the verdict has already been given to us before we even come close to the courtroom. The verdict for us is that we're good. In the eyes of God, when he says in Matthew chapter 3, he says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. That's the same thing that God says about us. That's the verdict. And so rather than performing to receive the verdict was said and done far before you even made anything to perform.
Right.
And so as a result, the verdict has been said, and therefore we perform knowing that God looks at us and goes, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's a complex thing. And it really is a challenge. And I think that's the secret of grace. In a book that I was reading recently by Tim Keller, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, he makes this point. You have to relive the gospel every time we pray. We have to relive it every time we go to church. We have to relive the gospel on the spot and ask ourselves, what are we doing in the courtroom? We should not be here. The court is adjourned. A purposeful quiet time. It's not a quiet time where you just show up and read your Bible hoping to, you know, cross your fingers, something will stir my heart, cross under the hash mark in the Bible. That's not the purpose. The purpose of a quiet time, you have to remember, is to relive the gospel on a daily basis. Connecting with God so that you can be reminded that my performance does not inspire the verdict. The verdict is already had. Now I shall perform in response to that. When you have a quiet time, for I just say this for me, for 5, 10, 15 minutes, where I'm just reading to read, and there's no connection back to the gospel or the grace of Jesus, I'm just reading and I don't even pray, or I do pray for a little bit, and I don't really go back to, God, I'm so grateful for what it is you've done. I don't relive the gospel on a daily basis. I'm missing out.
Yeah.
When I have a quiet time that lacks this purpose, it lacks the power that I'm looking for. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you guys with that. The first thing to a powerful quality quiet time is remembering the purpose of your quiet time. The second point that Brielle and I want to share is in a powerful quiet time is to be present. To be present. And this is the idea of giving your all to the quiet time. Giving your whole self, mind, body, soul, and strength. And with that, Brielle's going to share on this point.
Give it up for Rio. Come on.
So when I think about being fully present and fully engaged in my quiet time, I think of Matthew 22, verse 37. I can read that. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And Matt kind of mentioned that in our quiet times, it is about being all there. And I think God isn't a God who asks for just 50% of us or even 99% of us. He really does want all of us. And so I think in general, it can be hard for us to give 100% of our focus to anything.
Right.
But I think that's especially true for women. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I saw a video one time that said, it described like girl brains versus boy brains.
All right.
And said that boy brains, like, they categorize things, you know, brains in like little boxes. And like everything fits like nice and separate, and like, so you're here and you're thinking about this, and you're there and you think about that. But it said that girl brains are like spaghetti.
Right.
And that all the noodles are all mixed together, and that's why we're so complicated, I guess. I don't know. But I think it's true for me, at least, that it is hard for me to sit and think about one thing for more than 5 minutes.
Right.
And so it's easy for me to say, like, oh, like, of course I love God with all of my heart, and of course I would do anything for him. But then, like, I have to ask myself, like, am I really giving all of myself to him in my daily times with him? And if I can't even focus on him, then I don't think that's true. I'm a person that I just love a lot of people. Mm. I, like, naturally get attached very easily. But I definitely can't say that I love a lot of people with all of my heart, soul,
right.
mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. I think that's reserved for, like, a limited few. Matt happens to be one of those
Come
few.
On.
And so let's just imagine this example. So me and Matt are on a date, and we're sitting across the table from each other, and I have been waiting all day to talk to him. And I'm so excited. I have something so important to tell him. And so we're sitting there, and we start talking, and he's, like, really listening. He's, like, looking at me, like, I feel so heard. He's got, like, the yeah, mm-hmm, like, yeah, he's got the nod, like, I know he's there. And I feel so listened to. And then his phone rings.
All right.
And he whips it out, and he starts texting, and I'm like, okay. But he puts it away, and he starts listening again, and he's there again, and I feel really heard. And then it rings again, and pulls it back out. And so now, I'm mad.
Right. Yeah, right?
And, like, why? Why would I be mad? Like, because I cared so much about this time, and he didn't care about it enough to give me his undivided attention.
Right.
It makes sense for me to be mad. And so that's not a real story. That's, like, made up. He's great. but I think the upsetting part about this story is how often I do that to God. Like, how often that I come to my quiet time and God is sitting across from me at my table and speaking to me through his word. He has been waiting all day to talk to
me.
And I finally get there, but I'm only half there. Or maybe I am really there, but then my phone rings, and now I'm texting. Or then I think about my class that I have later, or that homework assignment I have to do, or
right.
how hungry I am, like, whatever it is, like, fill in your blanks. I just think that it's crazy how I can be so physically present in my quiet time, but then only half there mentally.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to say that I do love God with all of my heart and all of my soul, then I really need to be prepared to give God all of me.
Amen.
For at least a half hour a day, like, however long that is. Like, he just deserves that much.
Right.
And so I just wanted to share with you guys a few things that really helped me stay focused in that time. I think it's going to be kind of different for everybody, but these are just some things that helped me focus.
Come on.
The main distractor for me is my phone. So the first thing I tried was I would just put it on airplane mode, so then I can't get texts. But I quickly learned that just the sight of my phone right there, like, now I'm thinking about
right.
a million other things. And so I'll put it out of sight. Like, I cannot see my phone while I'm doing my quiet time or I'm distracted. Something else is once I actually do sit still for my quiet time, that's when, like, all the important things I have to do seem to come flooding
right.
back into my mind.
Right.
And so I'll keep, like, a notepad next to me so that when I remember those things, like, I can just quickly write them down,
yeah.
like, and, like, get it out of my head, and so then I don't have to be, like, worried, like, I'm going to forget it, or whatever, like, is there, and I'll deal with it after.
All right. That's awesome.
something else, I like to go somewhere where I know that I won't be interrupted, mm-hmm. but also somewhere that I feel like I can really be expressive to God.
Yeah.
Somewhere where, like, if I need to pray out loud, I can. If I need to cry, I can. A lot of people do their quiet times in, like, Starbucks and things like that, and that works, like, but that just doesn't for me, mm-hmm. because too many people and distractions, and I'm not, like, really alone with God. I don't have my quiet time right before I go to bed, because then I'm just thinking about being asleep, and I'm just, like, feeling like, what, how much longer, like, how, when,
yeah,
when can I get
true.
This done? And so I'll try to have it earlier on in the day. And then lastly, like, when I have a lot to do, or I have a lot of homework, or just a lot of things on my to-do list, I'll put my quiet time first on it. I'll just take that first half hour of my free time and say, like, okay, like, this is God's, like, and then I can stress and worry about the rest of that stuff later, but just kind of mark out that first time of, like, this is God's, and then, like, reserving that time to be solely His, and then making sure I have time for all that other stuff later,
right.
so I don't have to, like, be worried, but
mm-hmm.
just really isolating this as His time. So I hope that helps you guys.
Come on. So that's having a present quiet time. A great point, right? Some practicals. Maybe you think through for yourself. What are some things that's going to help you be present? You know, what are some distractions that you have going on that you can limit? You know, for me, just like Brielle, I have a sticky notes next to my quiet time spot, and I'll just write down what I have to do, and then I'll flip the sticky note until I need to review it later. And that helps so much. But trying it for you. So you've got the purposeful, a present quiet time, and now I want to talk about having a personal quiet time. Now, we know in scriptures like Acts 2, Acts 4, talking about descriptions of the early church, was that everything, everyone is together, they were one in mind, one in spirit, they had everything going, everything in common, and of course we want those things for our church, we want those things for our ministry. We want to have everything in common. And the truth is, that's an awesome aspiration to have, what we should have for unity. But when it comes to your times with God, is that you don't have to have everything in common with every other person in your ministry. Your times with God need to be personal, and they need to be constructed by you. So what I like to think about when having my quiet times is there are three major areas to a quiet time. There is reading, there is praying, and there's thinking. Some call that meditation, some call that pondering, whatever it is. And so in one aspect, you read however long you do that. Other aspect, you pray and really try to connect with God through prayer. And then thinking is important, where you ask yourself, okay, what does this mean to me? How am I going to do this? How am I going to apply this to my daily actions? And then you go ahead and do that. If you can get through a quiet time where all three are touched, like if you read and pray but you don't think, good luck, right? If you can go through those three times, you've got a good quiet time. And I'm sure there's more to that that you can add. I don't want to limit it to that. But think about this. There is a book that many of us are familiar with called The Five Love Languages. You guys heard of it?
Yeah.
And so it's about how each person has the ability to connect with another person and how they receive encouragement or receive connection based on which one of the five love languages is their primary way of connecting. So some are words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, or gifts. And so for instance, like if I'm with a friend, I connect with Andre really well. We get quality time together. Now, when he goes ahead and does my laundry or does these things, those are great, and I appreciate that, but I might not connect as much as if he was just to spend some quality time with me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some of you, you'd be like, dude, I don't even want to spend time with you. Thank you for the laundry, you know? And that's just the way we think, right? But that's what's so cool about God's body is that we all are different parts of the body, and we all have different feelings and different ways that we interact and connect with different people. And in the beginning, God created man, God created woman, but then God also created the relationship. And so God is a God of relationships. And so when we want to connect with Him, we got to be very relational in the way that we do that. And so you got to figure out what is going to work for me. How can I, when I read, what's going to be most beneficial for me when I connect with God in reading? Mm-hmm. Or when I connect with God in prayer? Or when I'm thinking, how do I journal? Or how do I write down my thoughts? Or speak out my thoughts? Or share my thoughts? What's that going to look like for you? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I love this example. There was a guy, and you know how real this is. I hope it's true, so don't quote me on the validity of it. But I'll say he's from Brooklyn. Anybody from Brooklyn here? That's right. You're born in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
For you, man.
Thanks, man.
You left, didn't you?
Huh?
So this guy from Brooklyn used to wake up in the morning, and he would go down to McDonald's, and he would get two Big Macs. And this would be his quiet time. He would get two Big Macs, or after the breakfast rush. And he would sit down, and he'd have one Big Mac in front of himself, and but another Big Mac in front of, you know, the other side of the table. And he'd be like, this is my time with God. And so he would read, he would pray, he would eat his Big Mac, and when he was done, he'd go, oh God, you didn't eat yours, can I have yours? And, you know, hey, how happy this brother was, I don't know, man, but that's how he connected with God. And it's silly, but that's him. And that's what helped him. What's it going to be for you? You know, for me, I can't stand still when I pray. I can't stand still when I'm up here, right? Let alone praying. And so what I have to do is either I need to go into, like Brielle was saying, a quiet place and just pace and pray. Or I have to go out and go for long walks at the park by my house. I'll just go and pray. Another brother who I know, where he lives is very cold. And so what he likes to do is to turn his hair dryer on, put it on the ground, and then he'll kneel and pray on the ground in his bathroom. One, because people can't hear him. But then two, that keeps him warm, you know? And it's personal to him. He treasures those times. You know, other people have to get out of their house in the morning when they have their quiet times because they've got three kids and they need to be somewhere where their family can't demand of them because their relationship with God has to, you know, come first, whatever that is. What's that going to be for you? And what's cool is that I could stand up here. What's encouraging is that I could stand up here and tell you what to do for a good quiet time, and it just might not land with you. Mm-hmm. And it's not because my advice is bad. No, I never give bad advice. But it's simply because you're a different person than me. It's simply because you're a different person than I am. And so you can't have a cookie cutter quiet time based on what your ministry leader does or based on what your best friend does. It really does require trial and error. It requires what is going to help me. And it requires thought going into a quiet time. How can I prepare for this? What is it going to be for me? All right?
All right.
Cool. And so we're cranking here. That was the third P. That was personal. And our last P is prayer. Prayerful. Now, Brielle's going to speak more on this point, but I just want to say this. Going back to that first point, is understanding who God is and understanding that this is a daily time that we get to connect with God. I promise you that if you were to just spend time thinking about who God is, and you really think this is the creator of the universe, what this guy is capable of doing, you know, what he can do with his breath, what he can do with his hand, with his mouth, that he's able to change the hearts like he did in Pharaoh, and he can do that today, that he created a world that we now live in, we created the church. You just think about who God is, how could you not pray? Mm-hmm. Because he's got the power. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, when you think about what God has called us to do as a part of his mission, right? To be transformed into the likeness of Christ, mm-hmm. who is perfect, who took every challenge and did not sin. And that's what we're supposed to be like. God says he wants all men to be saved. And we're supposed to go out and be the people who go and save the world. Are you kidding me? There's 7.4 billion people on this earth, and you want to use us, God. When you think about how big God is, you're forced to pray. But when you think about how big the mission is that God's given us, you can't do anything but pray.
Come on.
Because that's just the way it is. We need God, and we need prayer. Prayer is the bridge between our imperfections in our inabilities, in God's perfection, and God's power. Brielle's going to come up and share.
Yeah. Cool. So I think throughout the lesson, Matt's shared a lot of really great stuff on how important prayer is and how essential it is to our time with God. But I was kind of just hoping to make it a little more practical and break it down.
Come on.
I know for me, when I was like, when I first became a Christian, sometimes I'd have like a 3-minute prayer time. I'd feel like, guilty. Yes, like 3 whole minutes. Like, just so close to God. Like, it's awesome. And then I would hear someone be like, wow, I had such a great prayer time with God. I prayed for like 25 minutes. Like, yeah, but I'd be like, how do you even do that? Like, what do you even say for 25 minutes? Like, I just didn't have that much to say. And so someone shared with me this acronym called ACTS.
Right.
And it was so helpful for me. And that stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And so adoration, that would be like the beginning part of my prayer time, where I am really praising God with my words, where I literally would just list like my favorite things about him and what he's like and why I'm so grateful for him.
Right.
And sometimes I can feel repetitive. It's like, I kind of am saying the same thing every day, but I think that's so helpful for me to, what Matt said, just remember who it is that I'm praying to, that I'm not just like thinking out loud or talking to myself, but that I am praying to God, like the creator of the universe is sitting here listening to me. Like, that just like made the rest of my prayer like so much more real and valuable.
Mm-hmm.
The next step would be confession. And so that's a time where I would just get to be really bare with God. Now I'm remembering who he is and just coming before him and just laying myself bare, confessing everything and really feeling that there's nothing like bridging the gap between me and God, that everything is just out there, that we really can be one in this time, that there's nothing standing in my way, I'm not hiding anything from God. That was always really helpful for me. The next step is Thanksgiving. And so I think that's always just a good thing to remember. We have so much
right.
to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And that can very easily be left out of our prayers if we're not purposeful about it. And so making sure that we take time every day to thank God for who he is, like, and also everything that he's doing in our lives, like, that alone can take a very long time if we really
right.
give our heart to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly is supplication. And I think that's the part where that's normally what we pray. That's asking for things, asking for help.
That's right.
And we need that. We do need that. That's not wrong. We need a lot of help from God.
Mm-hmm.
We can ask God to help us to overcome things in our lives, to lead us to open people, to move the hearts of the people around us, anything. And I think that's so important for us to do. And so that's like a outline that I use in my prayer time. And in the beginning, it did feel very like, I guess like structured or like, is this really like a conversation?
Mm,
but
yeah.
I think that the more I did it, the more it did just become easier to talk to God. It gave me
yeah.
more to say to him, and it made me more comfortable just talking to him for more than those like little 30-second prayers. And so then over time, like, it just became easier and easier. And so now when I go to pray, I don't have to think about this, like, and make sure I do all of it. I just naturally do.
Right.
And I think that it's added so much depth and
yeah.
fullness and like intimacy to my time with God, where it gives me this full picture with him.
Amen.
So that really helps me.
Come
Thank
on.
You.
That's awesome.
That's
the point of prayer. So
is supplication. There you go.
Who
is it? A C is confession. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. On this point of prayer, I'm going to share really briefly. Yeah.
Supplication
is like asking God. Yeah, so like requests to God. You know, God, my grandfather's sick or something. I want to just share this briefly. Just this point of prayer is I'm just so grateful that God has transformed my prayer life. I started as someone who, like Brielle said, can only pray for 3 minutes. If I were to pray for 3 minutes, I don't know if I'd be able to survive, right? Because there's so much I need to get to God. But one of the things I just want to share briefly on, and then we'll close out because Sam's class is about to start at 9:15. It says in Philippians 4, you just jot this down. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about any situation. but in everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what I love about that is we're so quick to give our prayers and petitions to God, but one of the great parts of this passage is it says, with thanksgiving.
Right.
Ladening our prayers, seeping our prayers with thankfulness to God, remembering what he's done. Because that even goes back to just the beginning of what we were talking about. Purposeful quiet time is one where we deeply connect with God and remember the grace that he's shown us. How can you do that without thanking him? I encourage you, spend time thanking God in your quiet times. Spend time remembering the victories that God has given you, the victories and the ways that God has shown himself. Because that can transform a quiet time as well. A prayer time, give you the strength to go throughout your day. So, powerful quiet time, a quality quiet time, is one where we are purposeful, we're present, we're personal, and we're prayerful. You take those four things and incorporate it into your quiet time, I hope it will help, because I know it has for me and for Brielle and for the many that are around us who we see doing the same things.
Yeah.
And just got to see is that when it comes to a great quiet time, it's not something you just kind of show up and lackadaisically walk into. It's something where you need to be intentional, saying, this is my precious time with God.
Right.
These next X amount of minutes or hours, I don't want to be anywhere else. There's no conversation that could draw me away. I would want to be here with my God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's take 5 minutes, and if you guys have any questions or any comments that you want to share, Brielle and I are open for questions. Daryl is a shepherd in the campus ministry in New Jersey, and he's inspired me a lot with his relationship with God. So if you guys have any questions, go for it. We're all ears. Weight Watchers really helps. Go on to some music.
Yeah, go on Spotify and I'll type in